Crumb to, gave it up just in time to Graham. Opening goal, Tigers.
Costanza flings it to the voice. The voice of Edwards. No, it might be Jack Graham, in fact. He's kicked another goal. That is a goal. That's three goals for Jack Graham. It's a great night for the Jacks.
Well, they won't be happy with that bit of audio we picked out. You want to make an Adelaide Crows supporter cry? Mention the name Jack Graham, Wispy. He was right under their nose. He was the captain of their under-18 side. He was a star through that whole system. And now he's slotted into the best team of the modern era. 59 games he since debuting in 2017, two premierships. Last night he kicked a lazy three, laid 12 tackles and was in the best couple of players on the ground. He joins us this morning. Jack, welcome.
Howdy, boys. How you going?
Yeah, life's good when you wake up the next morning after the night before. You've had a belting big win and you've played well, then the weekend's pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good feeling and we've got a couple of days off, so it's even better. So I can't complain.
You can't complain about anything after that performance. Jack, did you feel it coming in the lead up to that game? I know you'd lost the last two games, but you hadn't played badly in those two games. But everything that you would have hoped for came back together last night as a team.
Yeah, definitely. We spoke about that over in Adelaide against Port. It was a pretty close game and could have gone either way, but I'm lucky we went down. But yeah, we knew our best footy was coming and we showed that last night.
You know, when Dimmer speaks to you post a performance like that, what is it that he concentrates on? What are the things that he likes about that performance most?
Oh, most important, probably just our effort and intent, you know. Richmond, Guernsey's in the screen, blokes just showing up, getting back to our pressure of, you know, making sides hesitate with the ball and then us being able to pounce on them. So that's what he spoke mostly about after the game, which was good.
It's extraordinary though, Jack. We've already talked about this morning. It was highlighted last night during the telecast. The numbers you got around the ball, how you outnumbered St Kilda around the ball, and then the ball would break from there, it'd go somewhere else, and you had more numbers there as well. Now, this has to be by design. It can't just be by accident.
Yeah, a little bit of it's planned, but it's just everyone willing to buy in with their work rate and the effort and intent, like I spoke about before. But that's the key, just trying to get as many Richmond Guernseys in the frame of the picture where the ball is so we can, outnumber the contest.
Can you tell, like, you know, when you're out there, like within 15 minutes, whether you're on or off or 5 minutes? You lost those two games, as you said. Last week, no, not as big a deal. But the Sydney Swans, I was there commentating for that game, and you could just sort of half tell that the intensity that you've become famous for wasn't there. I'm wondering what it's like when you're out on the field, whether you can actually pick up on that.
Yeah, we might have slipped away from it, but especially last night, you could just tell we were on straight away. Mm. Blokes flying in for tackles. Normally, when we're on, we've got two or three at the ball carrier, making sure, you know, they can't get an easy disposal away. So that's a good indication that we're on and ready for the fight.
Yeah, and Dan Rioli, I think, is really interesting. So Dan's been in and out. He's, you know, been dropped a couple of times. I just thought he had that hunger about him again last night, which says to me that you don't want to lose your spot in this side because, you know, there's great things ahead and you want to be in rather than out.
Yeah, 100%. He went back to the VFL last week and worked hard, and I think Dimmer only wanted him to work, you know, on his defensive side and that pressure because he's got the skills better than anyone. So, yeah, it's great to see him get rewarded last night and back into the side.
Hey, Jack, we often talk about sliding door moments and players' introduction to AFL football. You've played 59 games since debuting in 2017. You've played in two premierships. Do you reflect on that ever, how lucky you were to find yourself in this position at that time of your career?
Yeah, it's kind of a bit of a fairy tale. Obviously starting off with 2017, coming in and only playing five games and, you know, winning a flag. But then I just look back also back on 2019 where I played a majority of the year and then I went out in the prelim. So it's kind of worked itself out a little bit there, but I think it's something I'll really reflect back on once footy's done and be very grateful for what I have achieved.
You're a South Australian boy, and anytime somebody comes from another state, there's always that discussion, you know, when they're going to go back, there's always that pull back to family and friends and home and that type of thing. You've got a girlfriend over there in South Australia. I don't know. I'm assuming that she lives here with you in Melbourne. Is that right?
Yeah. She moved over here. So she's over here, which is good.
And she's got a farm in, how do you pronounce it? Is it Kyne Cutter in South Australia?
Kyne Cutter, yeah.
Yeah, yep, Kyne Cutter. So, middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I've just been looking at a photo, though. Has her family got the laziest sheep in South Australia? Because they're all piled into the back of the ute in the photo I've looked at, Jack.
Oh, no. Tell you what, that was hard work, bloody trying to catch them all, putting them in there, the little lamb.
What were you doing with them?
We were just rounding them up, putting them in the back of... They were too slow moving paddock, so we thought we'd just put them back in the ute. But, yeah, it's funny how it works, because this time last year, I was sitting on a tractor for about 6 weeks going into seed, and because of obviously COVID and the AFL had stopped. So at least we're back to playing footy, which is good.
What sort of lambs are you running with? They look the Columbia to me, maybe a Dorset.
I'm not even too sure. A few crossbred lambs.
Maybe a Corriedale in there as well. Wisp.
A
Corriedale.
Yeah. Have you spent much time working on the farm there, Jack?
I wouldn't say working, because obviously when we come back over on, you know, in the off season, normally spend a couple of weeks over there, and it's more just about catching up with everyone and then getting down the beach. But like I said, yeah, this time last year I was just about to start seeding and ended up sitting on a tractor for 6 weeks.
Any of the Richmond boys, we speak to Dylan Grimes regularly. He's got the vine, so he's a good farm lad. Is David Asprey your farm? Is there a few sort of men from the land at the Tigers?
Dave Asprey, he's out from Tattyoon.
Yep.
And then Liam Baker, he's from Lake Grace, Pingaring, Country WA.
Yeah, we spoke with Liam the other day.
Yeah, he's got a nice country swagger about him, hasn't he, Jack?
Yeah, he's a proper country boy, which is good. It's always fun to see what they get up to.
Yeah, we should start a WhatsApp group with all the farming boys, Wisp, just to share our farm thoughts.
Well, Jack's not off the land. You're from...
Well, he spends time on there.
But you're from Adelaide, aren't you, Jack?
Yeah, I'm from Adelaide, and then, only been introduced to it because of my partner. It's a good life. I enjoy it.
Probably won't include you on the WhatsApp, but you might be able to get some catch up through Dave Asprey and the boys. Tim this morning said that, and this is high praise indeed, I don't want to embarrass you, but you've been captain of your under-18 team, so you've got obvious leadership qualities, and he thinks that one day that you could end up being in a very strong leadership position at the Tigers. How would that sit on your shoulders?
Oh, yeah. I haven't thought too much about that. But, I do like to say that I do have a bit of leadership qualities. But at the moment with Richmond, you know, there's so much leadership floating around with, you know, Koch and then Shane Edwards, Rewalt, Grimesy, Lambert, list goes on. So I'm just happy to sit at the back and just, you know, learn off these guys.
Yeah, there are a lot of good guys there to learn from, Jack. But you must feel like, though, now you've cemented your place in the team, yes?
Oh, no, you never really know. We've still got, Dion Prestia and Nick Blossom to come back in. They're obviously really important players for us. So as long as I can just keep, you know, working hard and trying to cement my spot, I'm not 100% committed on it yet, being cemented, but almost there, I reckon.
I'll tell you what, tomorrow over in Adelaide, 2 o'clock, they'll stack out the Adelaide Oval, Wispy. It'll be a full house for the AFLW Grand Final. The Crows are going for their third premiership, if they don't mind, against Craig Starcevich's Brisbane Lions. And Anne Hatchard has been good enough to join us. She's here for Mercedes-Benz Berwick. They need your trade-in and guarantee to make it worth your while. She, Anne, is going for her third premiership as well. Good morning to you, Anne. How are you feeling?
Hello, yes, I'm feeling pretty pumped. I'm starting to feel the nerves a bit for the game tomorrow, but no, I'm feeling pretty good overall.
Well, you're an old hand now. You've been there before. You've been to the big show a few times now. You must be getting used to it.
Yeah, having played two, I'm going into a third. It's becoming almost normal. So, yeah, I'm pretty pumped to play tomorrow.
Hey, Anne, congratulations on making it and good luck at the weekend. You'll be going into this game without your skipper, without Chelsea. Has she addressed the troops yet?
Yeah, so it's pretty disappointing that we'll be going to a game without her. It's quite a big loss for us. But she's addressed us and she's up and about and getting around us. So I'm sure she'll be doing everything she can for us tomorrow.
What did she say to the group, Anne?
Pretty much she said, obviously, it's really disappointing for her. But, the health and safety of players with concussion is more important in the long run. So, obviously it's unfortunate that she can't play, but she's looking at the bigger picture for us.
Yeah, she is, and she spoke quite magnificently during the week, but she's a big loss. She's a big loss to the team. How do you cover
her? She's massive for us. Yeah, so she is massive for us. So we've just got to get our players to, you know, step up and try and fill that hole a bit. So, yeah, it is a big loss for us, but hopefully we can all step up and try and play our role and just do what we can.
I was reading about you yesterday, Anne, and your breakout year, 2019, but you attributed that to being fitter and having a better diet. When and why did that penny drop for you?
Yeah, look, in the first two seasons, I wasn't that great. I wasn't performing. I was quite unfit. I was eating crap, and I was scared I wasn't going to get another contract. And I thought, you know, I'm just letting myself down, letting my teammates down. So in that off season, went out, started running a lot more, got my diet on track, and came back into that next pre-season 5 kilos lighter, and everyone's like, oh shit, who is this? So, it was pretty exciting to be able to do that, and then I've just been building ever since then. So, probably in the fittest state of my life at the moment.
The remarkable thing about that, Anne, is it's twofold. A, you are fitter, but B, it gives you great confidence, doesn't it? Because you are fitter and you're able to do more than what you did previously, and then you start to feel more confident in your own ability, and away you go.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I can run so much further in a game now. I can get to so many more contests. It makes it so much easier to be able to just play a game of footy now.
What's the greatest challenge that the Lions present for you tomorrow, Anne? They'd be desperate to try and open their premiership account.
Oh, for sure. They have some real dangerous forwards. So, you know, they've got the Tolls and the Smalls. So I think if their forward line's on, they'll be pretty dangerous tomorrow.
What's been the build-up like in Adelaide?
Yeah,
it's been pretty good. All our fans are getting around us. We had open training on Wednesday, which was good fun. So hopefully we can pack out Adelaide Oval and, you know, get all our fans out there and have a good one.
What are the predictions on how many people will be at the grand final?
Oh, look, at the moment, not exactly sure, but, you know, hoping from anywhere over 30,000 would just be awesome to have at the game tomorrow.
Yeah, that would be an unbelievable crowd. And what are you going to do in the lead-up? What's the plan today? You're just playing it low-key? You got a training run or a last-minute session anywhere?
Yeah, so we've got a training session tonight, just a nice light captain's run, a few meetings, and then, head into tomorrow.
And I know you've made great sacrifices, Anne, as have all of the AFLW girls, to get to the position where they are. If you happen to be successful, you've cut back on the junk food, you've got this disciplined lifestyle, what's the first thing you're going to roll out with your premiership medallion around your neck and go and eat that you wouldn't normally through the year?
Oh, geez, if I hadn't gone vegetarian, it would definitely be a Zinger box against KFC. But I reckon definitely a big donut, big chocolate donut will be gone straight in me.
What about a pie float? Are they still selling those over in Adelaide?
Vegetarian wisp.
If they have a vegetarian pie float, then I could go for that.
It's a vegetarian. Tim wants you to have a pie.
You can get a pie without meat in it these days, can't you, Anne? You can get the vegetarian pie float.
Yeah, that's funny. I actually work in a bakery, and we do have some vegetarian pie options. So
there you go.
It is possible, yep.
We're going to start the conversation for the all-new Kia Carnival Australia's first GV. We're going to start it at Marvel Stadium, where the Richmond Footy Club, having dropped the last two games, no panic anywhere, just came out and said, now's a good time to remind the rest of the competition just how great a football side we are, or a team, I should say, because it was the team element that struck me. 86 points they smashed St Kilda by, so I know the Saints are going to be the story. I know their performance is going to be dissected, and as it should, and 12 goal to 3 second half. But for me, it was as much about Richmond last night. They were unbelievable. Jack Revolt kicked 5. Lynch and Graham got 3. Edwards had 29. Bolton had 29. Yep. Dusty 30-odd. So as bad as the Saints were, this was Richmond at their absolute smothering, high-intensity, pressure best. And I love seeing it, to be honest.
Yeah, I do too, Gary. I do. And I don't want to downplay it in any way. But you say it's about Richmond. I don't think it was. I think it was about St Kilda and their ineptitude last night, because we know what Richmond is capable of doing. And we expected that it was all going to come back at some stage. They've been the best team in the last 5 years, so we know what they can produce. What we've all been thinking is that St Kilda is on the rise, and they're going to be a challenger maybe down the track, and that was just put to bed last night. We sort of forgave them that performance against Essendon 3 weeks ago, and then they came back, and they were really strong in that second half in particular against the West Coast Eagles last weekend. But then the way that they fell apart last night was extraordinary. They just stopped working. Their game plan was just non-existent after a while. And I know Richmond, because of the pressure, they can take you to places that maybe you don't want to necessarily stay in or live in for too long when you're out there playing. And it can happen to you. But it was miserable the way they played last night. They looked ordinary last night. They looked like they gave up. They lost all sorts of structure and game plan last night. And that's the second week in a, well, second time in 3 weeks that that's happened. That's got to be alarming if you're Brett Ratton and you're a St Kilda fan.
I know, this is why I'm putting a lot of it to Richmond as well. What you're saying is right, spot on. As I said, I went to bed just before 3:15. The game was over. I couldn't keep my eyes open, but they couldn't handle the pressure. They could handle what West Coast threw at them last week. They handled that okay. They absorbed it and then drew away. They couldn't handle what Richmond threw
at
them.
Can I just say this, though? They could handle it for a quarter. Okay, and they were good and they were competitive in that first quarter. They had opportunity. They could have been two goals. They missed a couple of easy set shots. Okay, King missed it. So they could handle it for a period of time. They couldn't go with them for the distance. But if you go back and look at how they were pulled apart and what they weren't doing and how many players wanted to run ahead of the ball, it's a very simple game, this game, in terms of decision-making. And that is, if you secure the ball, or you keep your numbers around the ball and you've got more numbers at the ball than the opposition, then you've got a greater chance of being able to win the contest or share the ball once you do. And that's what Richmond did. It was extraordinary. How many times, if you were to freeze the frame, Richmond outnumbered St Kilda 5-2, right? Mm. The ball got cleared from there, and then where it went, they outnumbered St Kilda as well. So they just over and outworked the Saints last night. And that was... there's some real problems there at St Kilda with their midfield depth, their midfield class. I don't think, you know, if you look at their midfield last night, they had young Bytel in there for periods of time. They had Jack Steele, who's a really good player, like their best midfielder right now, Jack Steele. And then they brought in, the name's escaped me, the left footer. He came in late last night.
Who came in late last night?
For St Kilda in the midfield.
Crouch, Clark, Ross, Dunstan.
Dunstan came in late, okay. He was a late replacement last night. He doesn't have leg speed either. They don't, and they're not capable of moving from one contest to another contest quickly enough.
Brett Ratton, not as good as it is and never as bad as it is. It's never as good as it is and never as bad as it is.
No, but you've got to start looking.
That midfield handled West Coast midfield
You've got to start looking at all the things that fell apart. The same things fell apart when they played against Essendon, to be honest. So the same things fell apart I've got great concerns about them. Look, they can still contest for a top eight spot, presumably, okay? Mm-hmm. I got grave concerns about them. They were building for a premiership. I got grave concerns about them actually getting to that level to be able to compete to win the flag with that group of players they got now.
They got smashed in clearance. Like, it was a clearance domination. At one stage, I think it was 20-1 or 21-1 or something. They're no Ryder, no Marshall. Mm. So that has an impact, I think, on the way that they play. I'm trying to work out whether it's as bad and as it is, or Richmond... I just think when Richmond are in that mood, they reduce teams to the rabble that we saw St Kilda last night.
Yeah, not 85 points, not 86 points, Gary.
They're in that mood, they can.
This is an absolute shellacking from a team that we thought going into this season was going to be a competitive team and was going to challenge for a top four position. I don't want to smash this young man, okay? But this is the thing about Brad Hill, okay?
Ooh, gee, is he at the front of everyone?
Yeah, because there's an expectation that he's going to be a lot better than what he is at the moment. And watching him last night, you cannot have a... if you are preaching to your team that they need to be competitive, they need to pressure, they need to work defensively in all areas of the game, and everyone has to buy in, I can't see how you can then allow one player to go out there and not compete in all those areas of the game. They are fundamental and they are basic to the game of playing modern-day AFL football. For some reason, he feels... that he doesn't need to compete and his only job out there is to get on the outside and receive and run. You can't do that in modern day football. That person doesn't exist in any other team in the competition.
But are you going to try and make someone something that they're not?
You have to.
No, I don't think you can, Tim.
You have to. No. You still have to compete. When you're close enough to the ball, you look at every one of those Richmond players, okay? They don't play anybody that won't compete.
Yeah.
It's one of the number one traits of that team. You have to compete. When you're near the ball, you have to participate in the act, if we don't have the ball, of helping us win it back.
I agree with that.
And you can't go out there and have a player that's not doing that.
The messaging around Brad Hill for a long time from the club that he's played at is that, hey, we get the ball and we'll give it to Brad Hill and that's when he'll do his damage for us.
That's
so
right.
So if you keep enforcing that message to someone, then maybe you're diluting the willingness to go in and get your own footy.
What does that say to the rest of your teammates, though?
Well, they're saying we accept that everyone's different and we've got to have a balance of inside and outside.
Yeah, no, but you can have the outside run. Like McIntosh has got the outside run. I'll go to all those players in the competition that are wingers and outside runners, but at some point of time, you've got to participate in the other stages of the game.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just trying to...
No, I'm not saying he was the only problem they had last night. But he was symptomatic of the problems that they had last night.
Yeah, and look, from the messaging I'm seeing and what I've read in the articles and everything else, that he's going to be the poster boy. There's a bloke called Jack Billings that might want to just also sidle up alongside Brad Hill and say, listen, Brad, I'll take some of this blame as well. This is a kid who's been around for a long time, high-quality player for a long, long time, and his output doesn't match his talent. Questions that nose here, Wispy?
Yes, I've got a question for you. What are you expecting from Carlton this weekend?
Well, Carlton have been promising plenty for some time. They've sold their club well. They continue to build an impressive state-of-the-art enclave in the picturesque inner suburb.
Sounds like a garritorial
to me. They've got record membership and with a buzz team of the summer. 10 first-round picks in 6 years, 2 number ones. High-profile trade targets have been landed and the list has depth at both ends with Cripps and Walsh in the middle. So it's time to put up or shut up. Mm. And Saturday night at the MCG against the Port Adelaide side that will need a map to find their way to the home of footy provides the perfect opportunity to put their flag in the ground and declare themselves as a 2021 player. 2-2 after 4 weeks, losses to Richmond and Collingwood, wins over Freo and the Gold Coast. That is a pass mark just. Lions, Essendon, Bulldogs and Melbourne to follow. Is this what Carlton fans are going to endure again this year, a pass mark of a season? Or can they take a step towards higher honours by beating a contender on Saturday night? Can they separate themselves from their mediocre past? It's about time they did.
Well, we sound like a red one, that one.
A mediocre past.
A mediocre past.
A lot of noise coming out of that joint. They've had access to the best talent in the land. They've traded well. They've got high-quality players into the side. Do something, Carlton. Don't just beat Gold Coast and Freo and have, blah, losses to Collingwood. Do something. Beat a team that are contending, and that is Port Adelaide, at the MCG on Saturday night on the biggest stage.
Sometimes you don't have to win to be good. What's a pass mark for them tomorrow night? Do they just have to win?
No, they don't have to win. A high-quality game that is representative of finals footy. Pressure, handle heat. Don't get blown off the park. Don't get 7 goals behind and have 5 goals kicked in a row and then come rattling home and lose by 2 and go, not far away. Do something. Now it's time to cross to Seminyak for the Hugh Hefner of Bali. That's what you told me to describe Ricky Ollerenshaw as, and he's been good enough to join us. Okay, Rick.
Oh, thanks for that intro, Gary, and morning to you, Tim.
How are you going, Rick?
Life's going all right, mate. I'm just enjoying Bali life, I guess. We've got no tourists, so it's hard to make a dollar, but there are bonuses to having no people around, uncrowded surf and no traffic, but looking forward to getting people back here and the tourists open and get these borders up and running again.
Yeah, 100%. Rick, so how tough has it been the last 12 months in Bali?
Oh, economically, it's been a real struggle. A lot of businesses are shut, a lot of expats have left, a lot of locals had to return back to their villages. So economically, it's been really hard. And there's parts of Bali that you feel really sad for. You drive through Kuta and Legian, and it's like a ghost town, and it's really hard to see those areas rebounding. But there's some parts that are doing okay. Seminyak and Canggu have still got businesses open. But I guess as a business owner, if you can pay your staff and meet your bills and keep the place going, it's probably a win. But with no tourists in sight, you've got to sort of play the long game, I guess. It's going to be another long year, I think. They're talking the borders won't open for a while yet. So, just got to try and enjoy the bonuses of Bali, like the uncrowded surf and no traffic.
Well, you're about to head out for a surf, so I know we're holding you up. But we should say that Ricky, of course, well known to all our audience. 83 games for the Bombers, Roos and the Magpies. Played in the 93 Premiership, then injury struck. And he's got moved to Bali and opened three F45 studios. So he's become a feature over there, but also got involved with the Bali Geckos, which is the local footy side. So you're a great staple. We've all been to Bali, all our listeners. Most of them would have been there at some stage. So it's really sad to hear that. And what in terms of people being able to get to Bali, what's the situation right now?
Oh, it's really difficult. Trying to get a visa into Bali is almost impossible. Getting work permits to come back is almost impossible. So at the moment, we've got really no one coming in other than domestic tourists from Jakarta. So, and the place is going to be like that for a while, I think. It's really sad to see that so many businesses are still shut and unlikely to open. So we're just doing the best we can and trying to work around it. We just need you guys back and love to see you line up at full force of the Geckos, Gary. I don't know how your body's feeling these days,
no,
but I've also got a map dust bar that'll get you a map dust bar that'll get you loosened up. So
hey, Ricky, you'd very much have to be a stay-at-home full forward. Now, I feel like I see you every day because I follow you on Instagram and you post a lot and I see the Bali Geckos and your 45s and all that sort of stuff that you're doing over there. Just tell us, I know you love footy and you're still very much invested in AFL football. Tell us exactly what's taking place over there with your Bali Geckos and the men and the women who you have training with you and where they're coming from and how much they're enjoying their football in Bali.
Yeah, the last thing I thought I'd do when I moved to Bali was play football again, but I got the bug back and I got involved with the Bali Geckos and they're a terrific club. And I thought COVID might have been the death of us when we saw a lot of people leave the island. I thought we'd really struggle, but our women's team is booming. Our junior numbers the other night were the best we've ever had. And we've just recruited a whole range of new faces to the men's team. We've seen it normally in the past. It's been Australian expats who play a bit of footy with a sprinkling of locals. But right now we've got players from all around the world. We've got a German gridiron player and we've got a number of Irish players and we've just recruited some South African rugby boys. So the club's in great shape. We just got no one to play against. We played Jakarta last week. that's really the only team we can play against. So we just need some opposition, but we're getting good numbers for training.
And what about you? I believe you know, there's some people that have come from other parts of the world, as you just spoke about. Some that are with you are recovering ice addicts. What, you're just trying to build sort of like a whole football club type environment? Is that what you're doing there?
Yeah, definitely. We're trying to expose football to as many people as we can from all around the world and as many juniors as we can. Unfortunately, we can't really get to the local communities yet. Schools are shut and a lot of the locals have moved back to the villages. But we'd like to expand the game into more Indonesians. But right now, we're getting a lot of people from around the world giving it a go and loving it. And I'm loving it. I did smack my head open last week against Jakarta and ended up with stitches in the eye, but probably a bit slow now to avoid collision, but still loving the game. I've got the bug and I just love teaching the game to people who've never been exposed to our game before, and they love it. They absolutely love what Aussie Rules has in terms of skill asset and that sort of thing.
Have you got a ground? How do you go with the ground?
That's a bit of an issue, Gary. Yeah, we're currently playing on a soccer pitch. There's not too many full-size ovals around Asia. We very rarely play 18-a-side. I don't think I've ever played 18-a-side, to be honest. We played 10-a-side last week against Jakarta on a soccer field in front of quite a good crowd. But, yeah, we'd love to find a full-size oval. That'd be our next step. So if you've got to get involved with the Geckos, Gary, can you buy us a ground?
No problem, Ricky. Yep, yep. He'd be up for that. Hey, this segment started us talking about former players and their ailments and that type of thing, but I'm assuming, given that you get out there and hit the waves at 6 o'clock each morning...
And the massage. She's got full-on massage at his disposal.
Exactly. That you're probably in good health, are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, Tim. I'm shuffling around the midfield and I'm still able to get the footy, but I don't move that quick these days. But, yeah, I just love being out there. I love the camaraderie. I love the banter. I just love being part of a footy club again. That's what I'm getting out of it. And also, you know, teaching people coming through how to play. So I just love footy. I watch every game still. Gary on the Couch is still my favourite footy show. Thanks for coming up with that every Monday. So footy's still a big part of my life. My two kids are part of the AusKick program. My wife plays with the women's team. So football is still a massive part of my life here in Bali.
Do you ever see yourself coming back and living in Australia?
Oh, unlikely, Tim. I've got a pretty good setup here in Bali now, and it's great when you get people coming over all the time. I do miss my family and my friends and miss those footy reunions I'm sure you guys get to go to. But at this point, especially with borders shut, I don't see me coming home anytime soon.
And the surf this morning, where are you surfing? For those that are familiar with Bali and have been over and surfed, they'd be very jealous. It's getting a bit chilly here in Melbourne over the last couple of days. So where are you off to this morning?
Well, we expected a bit of swell overnight, Gary. So what I normally do, I go down to sort of near the airport there. I get a boat out and we just surf off those waves off the runway toward Airport Reef. So that's my go-to most mornings. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we just depends on the swell and the tides, the winds and all that sort of thing. It gets quite complicated sometimes with surfing.
What about, here's an idea for you. What about the Ricky O Tour? When it all starts to open back up over there in Bali, what about the Ricky O Tour as something that we might be able to promote here on SEN?
Oh, mate, that'd be awesome, Tim. Something like that, we can have a run with the geckos, we can take a surfing, we can take her in for a massage, take her to a few bars. I think that'd be a great little tour.
I don't think any...
Maybe we should have our 30-year have a footy reunion over here, Tim. Get all the boys over.
That's a great idea. That is a great idea. When is the 30-year reunion? 1993 to...
223.
220. Oh, it's just down the track, Rick. You got plenty of time to get yourself organised.
Yeah. It'd be my 50th too, Tim. So you've got to...
Oh, double celebration.
Well.
I'd start the preparations right now, Rick. Hey, it's great to hear from you. I've got to say... And you're talking about alternative lifestyles. Yeah, we're sitting here in Melbourne in the middle of our footy, and we love it, and it's great, and we're about to enter our winter. To hear you just say you're just about to cruise out in a boat and go surfing, it's not a bad start to the day. So I'm glad you're over there. I'm glad you're happy. You've got the family and the kids. It's fantastic, mate. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, boys. Really great chatting to you.